Give Us This Day is a devotional reflection upon the New Testament lesson appointed for the morning office from the Book of Common Prayer 1928. These devotionals are written and presented by Father Charles Erlinson, who serves at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Tyler, Texas. Father Charles' devotionals can be found both in print and online.
Today is Thursday of the sixth Sunday after Trinity. The lesson is taken from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 22 through 34.
And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto thee that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If God then so clothe the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
There is one thing in life you should fear, and likewise one thing you should worry about. The one thing you should fear is the one who has the power to cast into hell. The one thing you should fear is God, Luke 12:5, and his displeasure. That's it. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be moments of being scared by things that go bump in the night, or that there aren't certain parts of town we'd best not visit at night. But in terms of our deepest fears, the things we are most afraid will take place, the very thought of which agitates us to the point of paralysis, there's only one thing we should really be afraid of, and that is displeasing God. It's not just that we should be motivated by a fear of God's judgment, but also that we should be afraid to not please Him, not because of the threat of punishment on the other side, but because we love Him and it hurts us to disobey and displease Him. We should also be afraid because there is one safe house in the world and only one. There is only one place where you are safe not just from the outside world, but also from yourself, and that is in the presence of God. To walk out of the presence of God and out of His will is to walk into certain danger. If we walk this way long enough, the danger will be of eternal banishment from His presence in hell. Likewise, there is one thing we should worry about, and that one thing is God and His kingdom. If you seek God and His kingdom, His promise is that He will take care of the rest. This is an absolute promise. Although sometimes we garble the meaning of exactly what it is that God is promising. God is not promising that if only we would trust Him, then we would have no more pain and suffering in our lives. You will look in vain for that promise from God in the Bible. The only way you will find it is by a misreading of a verse out of context. The truth is that suffering is not only the effect that flows from a life lived apart from God, and one of the effects of the fall, but is also one of the means by which God is redeeming that which is fallen. It's not just the Son of God who suffers for the sins of the world, but being united to Jesus and being crucified with Him, and crucifying ourselves daily, Christians will also suffer in various ways. That's the bad news. But the good news in God's kingdom always trumps the bad news. The good news is that God promises to use every bit of our lives to glorify Him and bless us if we would only seek Him. It's not that suffering in this life vanishes, but that suffering becomes redemptive. It still hurts, but we learn that this pain is something God is using to heal us. Sometimes our suffering is a sign that the great physician is performing surgery on us, the most difficult surgery known to man, the synectomy. A synectomy is radical surgery that involves taking out our old heart of stone and replacing it with a fleshy one. It involves rewiring our brains and bodies and changing our identity. Such a radical surgery can't take place all at once, or it would kill the patient. So the great physician wisely performs his labor of love in a long series of smaller surgeries after the initial heart transplant. So when Jesus says not to worry about food or drink or clothing, he isn't saying that there won't sometimes be deprivation in life. But when such deprivation comes, he promises to be with us. Jesus knew that most of his closest disciples would die a violent death for trusting in God, and so he can't be promising them a rose garden in which there are no thorns or pain. But he is promising that even in suffering and even in death, he will be with them, blessing them. And that's the point, the blessing of God that comes from the presence of God. Jesus' point isn't that we shouldn't seek to provide the necessities of life for ourselves. Every wise steward is obligated to do just this. What he's saying, in keeping with yesterday's lesson on greed, is that we shouldn't set our hearts on these things or worry about them. If I can't afford to buy the new suit I want because I want to impress my potential new employer, then I shouldn't worry. God will provide. My old suit might be fine, or God may bless me with another job, or bless me in the one I already have. On a less serious issue, if I get outbid on eBay at the last minute by someone, why am I so upset or worried? I didn't really need that item anyway, did I? Do not fear and do not worry, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Verse 32. If your loving Heavenly Father is willing to give you his kingdom, which is himself, don't you think he'll give you as much of the lesser things as he believes are good for you? There is one final point in this lesson by which Jesus connects his teaching from yesterday on greed with his teaching today on worry and fear. At the end of his teaching on not worrying about food or drink or clothing, Jesus surprises us yet again. Unlike Matthew's passage, Luke records that you are to sell what you have and give alms, and in so doing, provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, and obtain a treasure in the heavens that do not fail. Maybe Jesus isn't so much talking to the poor when he says, do not worry about food or drink or clothing. Maybe he's talking to those of us who have plenty and are therefore rich. Maybe he's not saying to the starving, don't worry about food, but saying to the rich, don't be concerned to fare sumptuously while Lazarus begs outside your door. What are we to do with Jesus' clear command to sell what you have and give alms? Do we take this as seriously as we take other commandments of Jesus? I hope so. Part of the way that the poor among us are provided for is by those who give alms. If we who are rich are also greedy, however, then we are not seeking God's kingdom or spreading it, and the poor may be missing a part of God's blessing that he asked us to distribute to them. It's as if we are back at the feeding of the 5,000 and Jesus has multiplied the food so there is plenty for all. But sometimes we act as if we are disciples who decide to stockpile the food that Jesus has just made, instead of distributing it to those who are dying of hunger. This isn't so far-fetched. Isn't it true that one of the reasons God has given many of us Americans the great riches we have is so that we can share it with others and bless them? Wouldn't it have been odd if the disciples had not distributed the good gifts of God that Jesus had given to them for precisely this purpose? The problem is that we believe that all the fish and bread are intended for us. We believe that all of God's material blessing in our lives is intended for us. It's not. Therefore, don't be concerned to add more fine things in your life, but seek first God's kingdom. Seek God and his kingdom by giving some of what you already have to the poor. Choose to provide for yourselves not one more earthly money bag and not one more unit of retirement security, but to provide for yourselves heavenly money bags. Choose to invest not in the kingdom of man, but in the kingdom of heaven. In so doing, you will be pleasing your master by seeking him, and he is your safety, security, and treasure.
This has been a presentation of Always with Christ Radio, in the Anglican Way.